We're in Hebrews 11, verse 35. Hebrews 11, 35. Are you ready? Mm-hmm. Can you read that first word, Brother David?
Elabon.
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 Elabon. Elekes. Ex. Anastasios.
Anastasios.
Sus. Lekrus.
Lekrus.
Alton.
Alton.
Alloy.
Alloy.
They.
They.
Enti pa niste son.
Enti na te niste son.
Okay. Who?
Who?
Tos dexomenoi.
Tos dexomenoi.
Pain.
Pain.
Apa litrosin.
Apa trosin.
Trosin. Ina.
Ina.
Kratonos.
Kratonos.
Anastasios.
Anastasios.
Kikosin.
Kikosin.
I think I should have had a sigma in there after that alpha that I left out. All right, let's look at this verse. Now we're ready to read. Okay? They received, they welcomed women. Women did. Look at that word, genetes. What in English word do you think comes from this genetes?
Gynecology.
Gynecology. Gynecology. This is a doctor, all right? This is a woman. It's a recursion right out of the Greek. All right? And they received women out of the resurrection of the ones dead. It says, out of the resurrection, Anastasios. The word Anastasia in Russian, the Princess Anastasia, her name means the resurrection. All right? Or resurrection. That's what her name means. Of the ones dead, of them. And then it says, but others, they were beaten to death. Now let's look and see what it means that some received, women received their dead ones. Look at that word, tos nekros there. There's two words in Greek for dead, isn't there? Nekros is one, and the other one is thanatos. Now, these weren't thanatos, these were nekros. What's the difference between thanatos and nekros, remember? Thanatos. That means spiritually separated and spiritually dead. These people, their bodies were dead, but their spirits were not dead. Okay? Nekros. They received, some women welcomed their loved ones out of the dead. Right? Now, where in history did this take place? You remember? Where in history did all this take place? Remember? Back in the Old Testament? Was there a woman back in the Old Testament that her son died? Remember Elijah, the prophet? What happened? He brought her back from the dead. Okay? There were people raised from the dead in the New Testament. Remember in John, the 11th chapter, where Jesus was off doing miracles, and his best friend, who was his best friend all of his life? Remember, we've talked about this. Who was one of Jesus? They was a threesome, okay? They were very close to Jesus. Who were they?
Lazarus,
Mary, and Martha. All right, very close friends all of his life, okay? On this earth, anyway. And they lived in Bethany, and Jesus was off doing miracles. And they sent for him. They said, Lazarus is very sick. Okay? Lazarus is very sick. John, the 11th chapter. Lazarus is very sick. Hurry and come. And he tarried, it says. He waited for what? He waited several days. And finally he said, it's time to go home. Lazarus sleeps. Well, why do you want to wake him up, they said, if he sleeps? He said, we're going to bring glory to God. So he goes back, and everybody's wailing and weeping and everything, and they get word that Lazarus is dead. And the disciples said, let's go see Lazarus. And one of the disciples said, are we going to go die with him? How are we going to see Lazarus if we don't die? Look it up. See what it says. Are we going to go die with him? How are we going to see Lazarus? He's dead. When they got there, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. And Mary came up there and said, "Oh, if you'd only been here, my brother would have not died." And she said, he's still going to live. And she said, "We know that he will live in the resurrection." And Jesus said to her, "What? I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life." And when he came there, what did he say to Lazarus? He came up to that tomb. He said, "Roll back the stone from the tomb door." And he said, "What?
Right.
Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth." All right, and he did. And he walked out of there with his grave clothes on. So were they happy when he was raised? What did the Jews do about this situation? You remember what the Jews did about the situation here?
Didn't they want to snuff out Lazarus?
They wanted to kill Lazarus. The evidence that he had power over death, they wanted to kill him. Okay? The Jews did. Now, the writer of the book of Hebrews is writing to us. Well, we're getting the letter today, but who was he writing to originally?
Christian Jews.
Christian Jews. All right, to get them back on the track. They had gone off the track, okay? He's writing to Christian Jews, and he's trying to tell them to get back on the track of Jesus and get back on, quit running off over there in Judaism. Judaism is over with. The Messiah was pointed to from the law. The law pointed toward the Messiah. Let's all go thrash around in the law today. All these Jews still want to do sacrifices and everything. You can forget it. The sacrifice is pointed to Christ, and Christ is the greater, the better, and the greater sacrifice. Are you getting too cool? Is it too cool? A little bit? You can cut it down a little bit if you want to.
Okay.
All right. So they said, "Now this man, he is going to take our religion away from us. And the Roman government's going to come down around our ears, and we're going to lose our religion, and we're going to lose our nation. Let's kill him." Have women received their loved ones back from the dead? Yes. That's what the writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us here. And then it says, "But others, they were beaten to death." Etimpanisteison. That's the word. All right? Second. Third person plural. First aorist indicative passive. And this word, how many of you ever seen a kettle drum? That big drum that they have in orchestras and they beat on it like this? That's the term right here. It means to beat someone to death. To just beat them until they're completely dead. Beat them until they're dead. Alright? They were beaten to death. They were beaten like a drum. You can look that on page 410 if you want to write that down. That's where it is in the analytical Greek lexicon, okay? And then it says, having welcomed the deliverance, not having welcomed the deliverance. Now, the writer of Hebrews is going back to the book of Maccabees, okay? And I'm going to go back and tell you what it's talking about here as we go back. It says, others... not having welcomed deliverance, but they were looking forward to a better resurrection that they might obtain. Now, the writer of Hebrews is quoting Maccabees, all right? Second Maccabees, we're going to see exactly the story that he's quoting, okay? The story. Second Maccabees, the sixth chapter. And verse 21. But they had the charge of that wicked feast for the old acquaintance they had with a man. They're talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. How many of you ever heard of Antiochus Epiphanes? He's that Syrian that came in there and offered swine and killed all those Jews in Jerusalem. And he killed thousands of Jews on the altar and offered swine on the altar. And he would take the priest and everybody up there and they would try to make him eat swine flesh, which was unclean according to the law. All right? He said, now they're talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. Taking him aside, besought him to bring flesh of his own provision, such as was lawful for him to use, and make it as if he was going to eat and take it from the sacrifice. He said, now, old man, he said, go over there and get some kind of meat that you're used to eating, and just substitute it for the swine flesh. Just act like you're eating swine. Okay, just act like it, because we like you. He's 90 years old. Okay? And the king, that is, in so doing, the old friendship with him, he might find favor. But he began to consider discreetly And as became his age, and the excellency of his ancient years, and the honor of his gray head, whereunto he had come, his inner, or his most honest education from a child, of course, but how was he educated from a child? As a Jew. Or rather, the holy law made and given by God. Therefore, he answered accordingly and willed them straightway to send them to the grave. I'd rather die than even act like I'm eating swine flesh, even if I'm not eating. I'm not going to act. I'm not going to be an example to these people like I had denied my belief in God, in Jehovah. For it becomes not our age, said he, in any wise to this temple of where many young persons might think that Eliezer had been 90 years old, now gone to a strange religion. And so they through my hypocrisy and desire to live a little time, a moment longer, should be deceived by me, because I wanted to live a little longer. That's what it's saying right here. It says that not accepted the deliverance. They would not accept the deliverance. Okay? Now, the writer of Hebrews, which is maybe Apollos, okay? He was an Alexandrian Jew, or what we call a Hellenistic Jew, okay? He didn't study the Hebrew. Evidently, he didn't know Hebrew. He's quoting the Septuagint, and here he's quoting the Second Maccabees. I get a stain to my old age and make it abominable. For though for the present time I should be delivered, okay, for the present time I should be delivered from punishment of men, yet should I not escape the hand of the Almighty, neither alive nor dead. Okay? Wherefore now, mainly changing this life, I will show myself such as one as of my age requires, and leave a noble example to such as be young to die willingly and courageously for the honorable and holy law. And we had said these things, the words, immediately he went to the torment. They began to torment him immediately. Okay? And they led him, changing the goodwill that they had offered him just a few minutes before, and now all hatred because of what he had said. And when he was ready to die with stripes, he groaned and said, it is manifest unto the Lord that has the holy knowledge that whereas I might have been delivered from death, I now endure sore pains in body by being beaten, but in soul am well content to suffer these things because I fear him. And thus this man died, leaving his death for an example of noble courage and memorial of virtue not only unto young men, but all his whole nation. All right? Now we come to seven more, which is it's referred to in this. Have you ever heard about being fried alive?
Fried
alive. Fried alive. Okay. Now this is Antiochus Epiphanes. When they talk, they had two feasts that they celebrated, two books written about women in the Old Testament. What are the two books written about women in the Old Testament?
Ruth
and what?
Esther.
Ruth, they would read it at the Feast of Pentecost. And then Esther, they would read it at the Feast of Purim. When they talk about the old terrible guy that was, remember they were in that foreign country, and they were, what was his name? The guy that tried to Haman, all right, Haman, and the other one, when they built the gallows, he was going to hang the Jewish guy on it, and finally ended up hanging, he finally getting up hung. What?
He's going to hang Mordecai?
Mordecai, yeah, they were hanging Mordecai and Haman. And the Jews, when they read in the Old Testament Haman, they make all kinds of noise, boo, and all this kind of stuff. Okay, those two books are read. Now, here we have the Maccabees, which overcame finally the Antiochus Epiphanes. Then it says it came to pass also that seven brothers with their mother were taken and compelled by the king against the law to taste swine flesh and were tormented with scourges and whips. And this is exactly what the Hebrew writer is talking about. We're going to see all this. But one of them that spoke first said, what would you ask of me to learn of us? We are ready to die rather than to transgress the laws of our fathers. Then the king, being in a rage, commanded pans and cauldrons to be made hot. Pans and cauldrons. Okay? Which, for with being heated, he commanded to cut out this man's tongue. Okay? Because he had said this. And to cut off the outermost parts of his body. And as he was cutting his hands off and everything else, they were throwing them in and frying them in these pans. Okay? And the rest of his brethren and his mother looking on. Alright? His other six brothers and his mother watching. Now when he had thus maimed in all his members, he commanded him, being yet alive, to be brought to the fire and to be fried in the pans. They're going to throw his torso in now. The guy's still alive, and they're going to fry him alive. Okay? And as the vapor of the pan was for a good space dispersed, they exhorted one another with a mother to die manfully, saying thus, the mother exhorted her other sons, die like a man. Die like your brother died. This is a woman. You know. This is her mother. This is the one that gave them life. The Lord God looks upon us, and in truth, has comforted us as Moses in his song, which witnessed to their faces, declaring, and he shall be comforted in his service. And when the first had been killed, in that matter, they brought forth the second son, mocking him, slapping him, beating him, and they pulled off the skin of his head. They scalped him. They scalped him. You know, scalping didn't start among the American Indians. Did you know that? Indians didn't scalp each other. All right. The Frenchmen came in and the Spanish started it. And what they wanted, first of all, an Indian, they could get a bounty for an Indian if you cut his head off and brought his head in. And then they finally said, well, that's a lot of trouble because a head is heavy. Boy, it's 10 pounds. They can only bring in 20 or 30 of these heads at a time. So they said, I'll tell you what to do. Just cut their scalp off with their ears and pull it off and just bring in the scalp. So there's where scalping began. But it didn't start back then. It started way back here with Antiochus Epiphanes. Now they scalped this guy. Alright? This is a man alive and he's scalped. Okay? And they asked him after they scalped him, will you eat? Or you want more punishment? These are the heroes of faith. I thought we'd go back to the book of Maccabees and read the stories. You wouldn't even know this happened. What is the book of Hebrews quoting? Okay? Now this is 2 Maccabees, the 7th chapter, verse 8. But he answered in his own language, Hebrew, or Greek, whatever he was speaking. Wherefore he also received the next torment in order as the former did. And when he was he took his last breath, he said, you like fury, take us out of this present life, but the king of this world shall raise us up who have died for his laws unto everlasting life. You may kill us, but the king of the universe is going to raise us up in the resurrection. After him was the third. They mocked him in a stock. They beat him, and he cut out his tongue. For them, the folk cut his tongue. Okay? Manfully. And said courageously, these I had from heaven. For his laws I despise them. In other words, cut my tongue out, cut my hands and arms and feet off. He said, God gave them to me. But he said, I've given them up. And from him I hope to receive them again. He said, I hope to receive hands in the next life and tongue. And from him I hope to receive them again inasmuch that the king, that they were with him, marveled at the young man's courage, for that he nothing regarded his pains. Now when this man was dead also, they tormented and mangled the fourth like the manner, like the former. Okay? They tormented and mangled him. So when he was ready to die, he said thus, it is good being put to death by men to look for hope from God to be raised up again by him, for in him you will have no resurrection. He looked at Antiochus Epiphanes and all the men that were torturing him. He said, I have a resurrection to look forward to. You won't have one. you're not going to have a resurrection of the life, but of the dead. Afterward, they brought the fifth also and mangled him. Then looked unto the king and said, you have power over men. You are corruptible. You do what you want to. You do not think anything of our nation. You think that we are forsaken of God. But abide for a while, and behold his great power, and how he will torment you also and your seed. After him also they brought forth the sixth, and being ready to die, said, be not deceived without cause, for we suffer these things for ourselves. In other words, we're suffering this because we sinned against God as a nation. And this is our punishment. Okay? Remember where the book of Hebrews says that every son receives chastisement of God? Israel received chastisement as a nation, didn't they? Okay? Having sinned against our God, therefore marvelous things are done to us. But don't you think that you're striving against God and you shall escape unpunished? You think that you're going to strive against our God and then go unpunished? He said, forget it. But the mother was marvelous above all and worthy of honorable memory. For when she saw her seven sons slain within the space of one day, she bare with a good courage because of the hope she had in the Lord. Yes, she exhorted every one of them in her own language, filled with courage, spirits, and stirring up her womanish thoughts with a manly stomach. She said unto them, I cannot tell you how you come into this womb, unto my womb, for I neither gave you breath or life, neither was it I that formed the members of you, each one of them in my womb, but doubtless the Creator of the world, who formed the generation of man, has found out the beginning of all things, will also, with his own mercy, give you breath and life again, as you now regard not your own selves for his laws. Now Antiochus Epiphanes, thinking himself despised and suspected it to be a reproachful speech, while the youngest was still yet alive, did not only exhort him by words, but also assured him with oaths. He swore to him that if he would make him both a rich and a happy man, if he would turn from the laws of his fathers. Okay? And he's going to make you, I'm going to make you rich. I'm going to make you wealthy. And I swear this in an oath, that if you'll just eat swine flesh and denounce your God, and trust him with his affairs. Trust me with your affairs, he says. But when the young man would in no wise hearken unto him, the king called his mother and exhorted her if she would counsel the young man to save his life. She said, you tell your son just to take this swine flesh and eat it. They asked Eliezer, remember? They said, just go get some kind of meat you've been used to eating and act like you're eating swine flesh. And when he had exhorted her with many words, she promised him that she would counsel her son. Now she bowed herself toward him, laughing at the cruel tyrant to scorn, spoke in her own native language in this manner, O my son, have pity on me that bare you 9 months in my womb and gave you suck 3 years and nourished you and brought you up to this age and endured the troubles of education. I beseech you, my son, look up to heaven and earth and all that is herein, and consider that God that made all of these things out of that which we don't see, and so was mankind made likewise, fear not this tormentor, but being worthy of your brethren, take your death, that I may receive you again in mercy with your brothers. This is rough stuff. But this is what the book of writer of the Hebrews is talking about. Now, we're going to see all this as we look at these words. While she was yet speaking these words, the young man said, what are you waiting for? I will not obey the king's commandment, but I will obey the commandment of the law of God, the God of our fathers, and by Moses, that was given by Moses. And you, that have been the author of all riches against the Hebrews, shall not escape the hands of God. For we suffer because of our sins, the nation. And though the living God be angry with us for a little while, for our chastening and correction. This is exactly what the Hebrew writer said. Yet shall be at one again with his servants. But you, O godless man, of all other wicked, be not lifted up without cause, nor puffed up with uncertain hopes, lifting up your hand against the servants of God, for you have not yet escaped the judgment of the Almighty God who sees all things. For our brothers, who now have suffered a short pain, are dead under God's covenant and everlasting law unto everlasting life. But you, through the judgment of God, shall receive just punishment for your pride. But I, as my brothers, offer up my body and life for the laws of our fathers, beseeching God that he would speedily be merciful unto our nation, that you, by torments and plagues, may confess that he alone is God, and that in me, my brethren, the wrath of the Almighty, which is justly brought upon all our nation, may cease. God's going to come bring us back into the land one of these days. He is punishing us right now. Said the king, being in a rage, handled him worse than all the rest, and took it grievously that he was mocked, and so this man died undefiled, and put his whole trust in the Lord. Last of all, after the sons, the mother died. Also, she was, and they fried him. They would cut their parts off their bodies, throw them in there, and they would make them look at their own body being fried. And then they would throw them alive into the skillet.
Jim, if I could add something. All five of her sons.
Seven
of her sons. Each one, as they went down the line, got worse done to them.
Yeah.
Each one got worse and worse and worse.
That's the last one. Old Antiochus was and more mad.
Yeah. And each one got tortured more and more.
Yeah. But it says, now let's go back and look at this, okay? Let's go back and look at what it says here. Let's read it from the Amplified Bible here. Some women received again with great joy their dead by a resurrection. Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept and release and offered on the terms of denying their faith. This is talking about 2 Maccabees, all right? But they might have a resurrection to a better life. All right? Did that unveil the story here? That we have? All right. That they might obtain, they might enjoy a better resurrection. 11 and verse 36 now. 11 and verse 36. Looking at it from the original language. Heteroi.
Heteroi.
They. Impog. Moan. Kai.
Kai.
Mostagon.
Mostagon.
Peron.
Peron.
Elabon. Eti. They. Desmon. Kai. Thalakes. Alright, let's go back and say it. But others, different ones, of mocking. Look at that word, impogmo. It means to torture with words, to inflict pain. Remember back in the Inquisition, what the Catholic Church did to people when they brought them before? They would, the Salem witch trials, the Inquisition, the questioning the Saint Salem witch trial, they would try to twist their words up and they would torture them with words. Okay? That's what this word mocking means. It means to deride. It means to treat with scorn. It means to insult. It means to inquire with torture. You've seen in the old movies where they had the gangsters up there and they would put them under the hot light and they'd beat the tar out of them and they'd say, now, did you do this? Did you do that? Whatever. Sam Paul, my great-grandfather, the man that he almost got hung for, he killed 17 men while he was a marshal in Indian Territory. And he had some pretty rough practices over there. But he took one, He slipped up on this household of the horse thieves and hollered out there and he said, I'm Sam Paul. He said, come out with your hands up. And they said, come in and get us. Sam smiled, looked around at his posse like that. He said, wait here for me, boy. He just got off his horse, walked right in the front door of the house.
right with his horses.
Walked right in there. And when he walked in that house, scared him to death. They were shivering and shaking all over. They had a gun there, and they were going to shoot him with a Hawking rifle. You know what a Hawking rifle is?
Yeah.
Had a Hawking rifle. He handed that Hawking rifle to one of his deputies. He said, go discharge that. And they said they shot a tree with it, and boy, it blew out a big piece of the tree like that. And he told his boys, now, boys, he said, I'm here to arrest you for horse stealing. But if you will just tell me where the main group of thieves are, he said, you can just go back to bed and go to sleep. And I'll just mosey right along. Just tell me what the others are. And he wouldn't do it. So he said, well, boys, he said, you're forcing me to be a little rougher than what I want to. He took them out in the woods. And they took off the one group took off over him and Jim Ross went over to another one. And then he got out there in the woods and he said, Jim, go get me the reins. So he got some lines, long lines, you know, you drive horses with. And he put them right, the lines, that were going to put them around his throat and we're going to pull him up in the tree and hang him. He said, now, you can tell me, are you going to hang him? Well, he finally, he took off running, grabbed the gun and took off running. And Sam shot him in the back. He was going to hang him up there and just let him strangle a little bit and then lay him down and see if he wanted to talk a little more. These are pretty rough deals. Old Bill Tillman one time in Indian Territory also, he arrested a man. There was some pretty rough stuff going on. Bill Tillman took him out there and put him up on a chair and got barbed wire out and put this barbed wire around his neck and tied it up in a tree. And he put him on there, and he said, well, he said, now, boy, he said, you can either cooperate or you can die right there. He said, why are you hanging me with barbed wire? He said, well, because, he said, ropes burn. He said, and he went and got the kerosene and started dousing him with kerosene. He said, what are you doing? He said, so Bill Tillman walked around. That's like Sam Paul. Now, this is what they got this. These are all the same type of people. He started walking around him reciting the Lord's Prayer. At about that time, the guy got loose-tongued. He said, whatever you want to know, I'll tell you. And he had a lot better sense than that boy that Sam was going to hang there and let loose. You know. This guy started talking. He said, well, when I set you on fire, he said, that rope will burn up. And he said, we can't have the rope burn up. We're going to hang you with the barbed wire. So he called. He had better sense. This is the trace. But this is what this means right here. It means the torture. Now, remember we went back in the book of Maccabees and we read about the torture. Of mocking, slapping, derision, and mastigon. That word was impogmon, all right. Impogmon. It comes from in and piso. Now we have the word mastigon. Do you think we might have something in the English language from this mastigon? What word in English would be this? Your mama, when you were a little kid, she used to say, chew your food. Didn't she? What is the medical term, the fancy tune, the $5 word for to chew your food?
Masticate.
That's what our word masticate comes from, right here. Masticate. And what it means here, it talks about a... How many of you saw the movie The Passion? Of Christ, all right? Where they took the cat of nine tails and they whipped this man that represented Jesus and they just ripped his flesh off. That's what a cat of nine tails did. Paul was whipped with a cat of nine tails. They would take these nine thongs and they'd tie them to a handle and they would put pieces of brass and chips of metal and whatever in that, and when they would hit you with this, it would just rip off your flesh. And that's what the word here, mastigon, means. It means the mouth of the whip is ripping and chewing your flesh. So they scourged them. Now these boys, we know. Now, the writer of Hebrews has a lot more access to the things that were going on in tradition. So evidently, not only were these guys, the one guy was scalped, they had their hands cut off, their tongues pulled out, but they were also masticated with a whip. Okay? And then it says peron. This word peron means tribe. Okay? And on page 314, in the Analytical Greek Lexicon, it means direct torture, direct torture. It means to tempt and to torture. All right? Now we have Elabon, and they received more. All right? And of bonds, they were tied up. Bonds had chains on them. Chains. And prison. Philakes. The word prison there means a dungeon. Not only were they in a dungeon, but they were constantly harassed by guards. Harassed by guards. When they were in prison, they were constantly hounded and harassed by a guard. This means to put in prison and to hound with a guard, to watch over and to hound. Now, 11 to verse 37. Let's look at this. This is pretty gruesome stuff that the writer of the book of Hebrews is telling us about it, because it's very important. All right. Elethos theson. And then I left the word out.
Elethos theson.
All right. Here's another spelling of it. Epeiros theson. And then we have epristheson here. N. Bono. Makares. Apithano. Perelthon. N. Melotes. N. Igeois. Germopsin. Hista Ruminoi. And then it says Philippomenoi. Kakukumenoi. All right, now let's go back. They were stoned. They were stoned with rocks. Now that was a... Who in the New Testament was stoned that we know of that was witnessing for the Lord?
Paul.
Paul the Apostle was stoned.
Stephen
was stoned in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. All right. Many were stoned by the Jews. All right. Paul the Apostle was there when they stoned Stephen. Later on, he got to partake of the same type of treatment. All right. And they were stoned. It comes from lethos. All right. Lethoso here is the word. And then it said they were tried. All right. Third person, plural, first person, dictative, active, from parazo. All right. There's another word for torture. They were tried with torture. And then it says, and epristheson. They were sawn asunder. How many of you ever seen these magic tricks where you have a magician stand up there and they put somebody in a box and they take a great big saw and saw right through that box and they turn the box around, the guy's feet's over here, the guy's his hands over here? Now, that's what it's talking about right here. In Amos 1 and 3, and Isaiah was supposedly put in a box, and they took a saw and sawed through the box and cut Isaiah's body in two. They were sawn asunder. All right? That's page 341. It's prezo. Okay? And then in murder. Phono. All right? Phono. This word here means to cut somebody's throat. Okay? To cut somebody's throat. Back here, some of these rough people, they would just take out, Antiochus Epiphanes. They say Antiochus Epiphanes took 1 million Jews and cut their throats on the Rock of Moriah, right here. Right at that place, right here, it said that he took and cut over 1 million Jews' throats. And the blood ran all the way down this valley. All the way down that valley. That's what it's talking about here. Caught up in my cord there. Murdered. They had their throats cut. And then it says, Makares. This is the fate of prophets, by the way. This is an old Ionic word. Ionic. Ionic is from Ionia. It's what we call the dialect, the Greek dialect, okay? In 1 Kings 10:10, Jeremiah 26, verse 23, Exodus 17, 13, and Numbers 21 and 24, people died by the sword. Okay? People died by the sword. They died. Apithanon. And they were went about. This is terrible. And they went about. Peri elkon. Peri erkamai. They went about in sheepskins. Melotes. Now, it says later on that they use the word mellow as the pieces of leather that were tanned, and they used them to write Bibles on. Okay? In the thinned skin. But this is not what it's talking about here. It said they were murdered, and they died, and they went about in sheepskins. Now, what kind of clothing did John the Baptist wear?
Camel hair
and skins. They were rough skins, what he was wearing. Rough, crude clothing. What about Elijah? Same thing. He wore rough-looking clothes. Okay? That's not what this is talking about here. It says, in sheepskins and goatskins. All right? In sheepskins and in goatskins. By the way, these words are only used one time. The word melotes, the word aigeois, and the word dermason are only used in this form one time in the New Testament only. It's used in the Septuagint. In sheepskins and in goatskins. The word goat there, it means it's a rare word, but it means like the scapegoat, okay, of the Old Testament. And then dermason. What is the word in English do you think we get dermason from? What kind of doctors look after your skin?
Dermatologist.
Huh? A dermatologist. Okay, a dermatologist. That's where this means skin. And that means to flay. It means to skin somebody. Like they skin that man's head, they scalp him. Okay? This means to skin. Now, what they actually did here with these people of God, they wanted to find out some way to kill them slowly and to make them suffer as much as possible. Remember that farmers back then didn't live on the farms. Farmers didn't live on farms back then at this period of time. Okay? Farmers lived in the city. Let's just say this is Bethany, okay? Now in Bethany, in the city of Bethany, they have a wall all around the city. Okay? And they have a gate to it. They close the gate at nighttime. And all the people around here live in houses. Now, they go out to their farm patches out here. Their 3 acres or 2 acres or 5 acres or whatever land that they have. And they go out there in the daytime. And before dark, they get back home. And they go in the city and they lock the doors. They lock the gates of the city. Why? What was out here? What was out around here?
Robbers and thieves.
Well, robbers and thieves. What else?
Wild animals.
Wild animals. Like what? What kind of animals did David have to deal with?
Dogs.
Huh?
Wild dogs.
Well, they had wild dogs. Okay. They had wild dogs. One of the biggest problems out where I lived is wild dogs. I mean, they come in killing everybody. I have more trouble with wild dogs out there killing my animals than anything else.
Lions?
Lions. Big African lions that were back up in there. And tigers. And what else? Wolves. Wolves. Okay? And wolves. These are very vicious animals. Okay? You get out there and run into a wolf or a lion. Now, David killed a what? He killed a lion. And he killed a wolf, or a lion and a bear, didn't he? All right, now bears are kind of rough creatures, aren't you? How many of you ever seen what a bear can do to you? I used to hunt bear, and brown or black bears have kind of their fingernails or claws are about that long. Okay, grizzlies are about this long. Indians call them the long claws. Okay. Now, even a black bear, if he swipes at a, he makes a stroke, and you hear their paws going by, just like somebody batting. You know, when you miss something, you hear that bat. That's the way their hands, their claws go by. And when they hit a dog or you, it'll just rip you half in two. It was cut up, just like somebody cut you with a knife. It says that they went about. Third person plural, second aorist, and dignity active. Peri erichomai. They went about in sheepskin. They would take a freshly killed sheep, and they would take and just dip that skin in blood. And they would sew, they'd take the person, tie their arms to their body, then sew them up in the sheepskin. And then turn them loose to water. What do you think had happened at nighttime? Here comes Mr. Bear, here comes Mr. Wolf, here comes Mr. Lion. And they smell the blood, they smell it from a long distance. And they go out. In sheepskins and in goatskins, there were dermosis. It said, histeru minoi. What do you do when you're really scared and you're just absolutely one, especially a woman when she gets in a state, they call it what? It's what, it comes from this word, hysteria. Hysterical. All right, hysterical. That word comes from there. Being in constant want, to suffer detriment, to be needy, to run short. It means to fall behind all the time. It means to never have enough to eat. It means to never have enough sleep, to never have enough water, to never have enough food. It means to constantly, and it says not only plural masculine, present participle, middle voice. And how did they get in this state? How did they get in this state? Simply because they would not deny their Lord, their God. Being afflicted, trebol minoi, nomine plural masculine, present participle passive, that means to torture. It means to be oppressed. Has anybody ever oppressed you? And being ill-treated, treated evil, it means to harass, to afflict, to oppress with evil. It comes from kakos and kakukio. It means to constantly harass and being ill-treated and afflicted. And that one you can look up on page 210. The word phlebo, look up on page 195. And then if you go back and you look about this word, our word hysteria comes from, it comes right out of hysterio, page 420 in the Analytical Greek Lexicon. Well, that's what this book is talking about. Let's read it. Just one last word, just one last verse, and I'm going to turn you loose on the world. Hone, book, Hon uk ein axios. Whole cosmos. Epi. Eremes. Planomenoi. Kai. Oresen. Kai. Stalaios. Kai. Case. Opace. Case gaze. Of whom not it kept on being worthy, the world. The world was not worthy of them. This world system, cosmos. That word cosmos means to decorate. This is what the girls use cosmetics, don't they? Anybody around here use cosmetics? Cosmetics. That word means to set an order. That's the word cosmos. That's what it comes from. That this world order, this present world order, you can look that one on page 238. They are turned out on the wastelands, the wilderness. Uninhabitable land, that's what the word eremes means. This means an absolute wilderness. Indians in California, the Catholic Church came into California, all these missions up and down the coast out here, all they were slave plantations. If you were an American Indian, a California Indian, and you weren't on a slave plantation, you were hunting, or hunted for sport. They had to hide out in the caves. It says they were wandering aimlessly. That's what it means. They were in uninhabitable areas while the Indians even ran out there in Death Valley and hid out there. Did you know that? Ishii, how many of you ever heard of the name Ishii? He was the last California wild Indian, and he was starving to death. The white man had gone up there, and they ran across his little tribe that had been hiding for years out in this uninhabitable area, these white people thought. And they went out there, and they ran upon Ishii's family. And they were starving to death because they couldn't go down and hunt in the lands where they usually did. And they had been killing all the game, everything. And they came upon his family, and they came upon his village, and they had to just run and leave their weapons and everything else. They brought disease with them, and they got all kinds of disease. American Indians have no resistance to disease. A long time ago, when I was a little kid, how many of you had the smallpox shot when you were little? Anybody? Smallpox shot? I had a smallpox shot when I was very little, over at North Turner General Hospital. Got my smallpox shot. Didn't do anything to me, hardly at all. I hardly even have a scar. You have to really look close to even see it. And I went to a really smart doctor in my about 30 years of my life, and my shoulder, a horse fell on my shoulder. He was looking at my shoulder, pulling on it. He looked over and he saw that smallpox shot. He said, "Jim," he said, "you're Indian." He said, "How come you didn't react to that smallpox shot?" He said, "You hardly even have a scar on." He looked at me and he thought for a little while. He said, "You know something?" He said, "Somebody in your family has smallpox. And you were, that the immunity of it, they lived through it, and the immune was passed down to you." And in that book, when you read the Doris, you're going to find our great-grandfather had smallpox. And he passed that immunity down to us because they lived through it. These Indians were totally devastated with disease. And Ishii's family, when they ran upon their village, they ran off and left their weapons. They didn't even have anything to hunt deer with or quail or anything. They were starving to death. He finally went down to a slaughterhouse and was in there getting the scraps off the floor and eating them like a starving animal. And they captured him. Wandering in mountains, hillbillies. They were hill people, not by choice. The valleys of the Piedmont, people were out in the hills, okay? By necessity. And caves, spelunkies. Spelunky. How many of you ever heard of the word spelunky? That means a cave explorer. It comes right out of this Greek word, spelois. And the holes, the caves, and the pits in the ground. They lived in the holes in the ground. Some of the outlaws, you know, have you ever heard of the hole in the wall game? You know, Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, they went in the hole in the wall game up there, and they hid out in holes in the walls, caves, caverns. Jesse James hid out in caverns also back in Missouri. Well, these are God's people hiding out like this. They're hiding out simply because they won't denounce their faith. What's the date today? Anybody know?
The 14th.
Well, next week we're going to start with verse number 39. Hope you enjoyed something, learned something out of God's Word this week. Find out what the writer of Hebrews was relating to. All right? Any questions? No questions? Bill, you don't have a question? Joanne, it's good to have you here.
Well, she told me to tell you, when you were talking about raising Lazarus, my 4-year-old granddaughter, they just studied that in her classes. She gave me a call, and she was telling me all about this Lazarus, this guy, and she says, and Jesus raised him from the dead. She said, "Can you believe that?" She was just so excited.
So excited about that.
Yeah, couldn't believe it.
All right. Well, let's go out and do something eternal this week. Go out and do something for the Lord. Brother Bill, would you just bless us in prayer?
Lord Jesus, we just thank you for this precious opportunity to be in your house again, Lord.